This is reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 15. Tasmin nirmanuje aranye pipalopasta ashataha atmanatmanam atmastham yatha shritam achintayam tasmin nirmanuje ranye pipalopasta ashritaha atmanatmanam atmastam yatha shritam achintayam Tasminapo nirmanuje ranye Pipalopasta ashritaha Atmanatmanam atmastam Yatashutam achintayam Tasmin nirmanuje ranye Pipalopasta ashritaha Atmanatmanam atmastam Yatha shrutam achintayam Tasmin nirmanuje ranye Pipalopasta ashritaha Atmanatmanam atmastam Yatashutam achintayam Tasmin nirmanuje ranye Vipalopasta ashataha Atmanatmanam atmastam Yatashutam achintayam Tasmin nirmanuje ranye Pipalopasta ashataha Atmanatmanam atmastam Yatashutam achintayam Tasmin nirmanuje ranye Pipalopasta ashataha Atmanatmanam atmastam Yatashutam achintayam Tasmin nirmanuje ranye Pipalopasta ashataha Atmanatmanam atmastam Yatashutam achintayam Matajis Tasmin nirmanuje ranye Pipalopasta ashataha Atmanatmanam atmastam Yatashutam achintayam Tasmin
in that
nirmanuje without human habitation Aranye, in the forest. Pipala, banyan tree. Upaste, sitting under it. Ashataha, taking shelter of. Atmana, by intelligence. Atmanam, the supersoul. Atmastam, situated within myself, yatashrutam, as I had heard it from the liberated souls, achintayam, thought over. Translation. After that, Under the shadow of a banyan tree in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the supersoul situated within using my intelligence as I had learned from liberated souls. Translation. After that, under the shadow of a banyan tree in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the supersoul situated within, using my intelligence as I had learned from liberated souls. Purport. One should not meditate according to one's personal whims. One should know perfectly well from the authoritative sources of scriptures through the transparent medium of a bona fide spiritual master and by proper use of one's trained intelligence for meditating upon the supersoul dwelling within every living being. This consciousness is firmly developed by a devotee who has rendered loving service unto the Lord by carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. Sri Naradaji contacted bona fide spiritual masters, served them sincerely, and got enlightenment rightly. Thus he began to meditate. Om Agyanatami Randasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshura Militangena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I think I forgot. You see how often I go to Bhagavatam class. Somewhere in here there has to be Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So why don't we can do that now. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narang Chaiva Narotamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasa. Tato Jayam Udirayet. Is there anything else that's normally spoken? Okay, good. So, it is a great pleasure to be here and to have the opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Naradaji is recounting to Srila Vyasadeva, his disciple, how he came to his present birth. All the circumstances, Vyasadeva was inquiring. And Srila Prabhupada explains that it's very fitting that the devotee takes pleasure in understanding how another devotee actually came to Krishna consciousness. And there used to be many articles, I think there still are in BTG, about how I came to Krishna consciousness. This is a great satisfaction for the devotees to hear from one another how they came to Krishna consciousness. And so Narada is recounting to Vyasa just this very history, how in a previous life he had been the son of an insignificant maidservant, and that upon his mother's untimely death by being bitten by a snake, Prabhupada explains that the devotee never takes any setback seriously but accepts it as the mercy of the Lord. Somehow, the quality of the devotee is that he always sees in every event there is the hand of Krishna, somehow bringing him closer, because his desire is to come to Krishna consciousness, full Krishna consciousness, so that he can engage in loving exchanges with the Lord and with the other devotees. So therefore, Sri Naradaji took the opportunity to go traveling, even though he was only a five-year-old boy. So in the course of his travels, he managed to come into contact with the Bhaktivedantas, and from them he learned this science of Krishna consciousness. And even though he was only 5 years old, he began to practice Krishna consciousness, and he has taken up his residence underneath a banyan tree because the Bhaktivedantas, the great souls, they had moved on So much in the same way, Srila Prabhupada has moved on. He spent some seasons, Prabhupada was explaining that there are six seasons in India. And during the rainy season, the holy people, they don't travel. They stay in one place and they hear and chant about Krishna. So this Kali Yuga is nothing but an ocean of dreadful rainfall and many inauspicious moments. So therefore, it is fitting that the devotees should come together more often and hear the glories of the Lord, to hear the pastimes of the Lord. And this is the activity that Lord Chaitanya was teaching and the Goswamis were also teaching, that the devotees should spend their time discussing these glorious pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. And Krishna himself says, Tushanti cha ramanti cha. Ekam evanukam partam ahama gyana jangtamaha nashyatma bhavasto gyana dipena bhasvata. And that by this process of this process of hearing and chanting, Krishna becomes manifested in the heart. And this is the wonderful pastimes that the devotees enjoy more than anything else, is hearing about Krishna. So Narada has taken up his residence underneath a tree and he's beginning to inquire, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Just like so many people are coming, being directed. There's one very nice devotee that we were speaking to this morning, that he somehow or other, he finds himself living in the neighborhood. He's, I think, studying with one devotee in Santa Monica, studying yoga. And so by Krishna's arrangement, he's living here in the neighborhood. And he said he had the impetus to get up early in the morning and come to the morning program. And so he was inquiring, who is this half man, half lion here? And he was very excited to understand something about Krishna. And I was thinking that this is one of the, that I was also inquiring, who is this Nrisimhadev? Every morning we're singing, Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. So what is the history? So there are persons who have not heard the glories of the Lord, and they are eager to hear these same glories. And there are those who have heard them, and somehow we become a little forgetful about them and take them. It's very easy to take things for granted. But Krishna, one of Krishna's names is Navanava Yamanam, which means that he's always fresh and new. So somehow or other, we must maintain a fresh outlook in Krishna consciousness, because it's actually very thrilling. If we think when we were first coming to Krishna consciousness, how thrilling it was. Otherwise, who's willing to come out 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, sit on the cold floor and sing songs? This is very unusual. The materialistic people will not appreciate very much how this is going on. What is the process by which these people are attracted to these activities? And so Naradaji is explaining, and Prabhupada has explained in the previous chapter, that people are very much anxious to hear interesting stories about interesting people. People, individuals, because we are eternal individuals, we have a natural tendency to want to hear about other souls like ourselves. Unfortunately, in our conditioned state, we just want to hear about the conditioned activities of other conditioned souls. But Krishna consciousness means to break that cycle of conditioning and to bring us into the transcendental association of the Lord, so that we can fully manifest the spiritual symptoms, the same symptoms that Krishna manifests in his relationships with his devotees. And so therefore, this hearing and chanting process is very much recommended. And this is what is taught. Narada is saying that he learned this science from the liberated souls. So what science is it that we've learned from Srila Prabhupada and the devotees? Suvas Prabhu has been here for 32 years teaching this science. Staying atmanam atmastam. Look, sitting under this great banyan tree, inviting others to come and also to hear about Krishna. So this is the real science. This is non-different than this gathering is coming in a line from the sages at Naimisharanya. We have gathered. Why have you gathered here? It was asked, why are you here? We are here to perform sacrifice because we know that it is the Kali Yuga. We know that it is presently Kali Yuga. Kaler Dosha Nide Rajanasti Hekal Mahan Guna. It is a great ocean of faults. But what is the solution? Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Purang Vrajet. That is the performance of Yajna. And not just any Yajna, but Kirtan Yajna. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya. Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro Premamritam Bhani Dhi. That this ocean of Krishna consciousness will defeat the ocean of nations, defeat the ocean of Maya. So this is the sacrifice for the age. This very activity every morning, following in the footsteps of the sages at Naimisharanya, and they're hearing this very discussion. Just as Narada is narrating to Vyas, and Vyas spoke to Madhvacharya, Madhvacharya spoke to his disciple succession, and we are receiving the same thing. This is the same process. And we're also taking up arms against, they say, Shakespeare said, taking up arms against a sea of troubles. But that was a different consideration. This is the real taking up arms against the real sea of troubles. Not one's, not egoistic problems, not my personal problems, but the entire age is condemned. The entire Kali Yuga is condemned. So therefore, this is the right process for pushing back against the troubles and travails of the Kali Yuga. So the science is there. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sukham, Atmani, Vedanam. And this is what is taught. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine in Canada the other day, and he said, oh, this theology is not worth very much. So much people are so much worried about theology and so many words. I said, yes, but you're using so many words. Wouldn't you like to think that the words you're using are meaningful in some real sense? Instead of just you're using words, why not learn how to use words properly? Why not learn how to consider things carefully and understand things as they really are instead of making things up? Instead of speculating about the way things are, we should learn how they are in reality. And so this hearing process is the beginning to understand how things really are in reality. And this is the meaning of so-called theology. This is the meaning of so-called our philosophy. Is understand the difference between the soul and the super soul, just as Nardaji has heard from the sages that there is a difference between the individual soul and the super soul. And this is the very beginning of spiritual life. That when we come to Krishna consciousness, we find out that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. I am meant, and the cause of my suffering is that now I am separated from Krishna and I'm separated from that service. I'm serving someone. At every moment I'm serving someone. I'm serving my family. I'm serving my country. I'm serving my mother and father. I'm serving, if no one else, I'm serving my dog. I'm serving someone at every moment. I'm serving my employer to get, but there's always some individual purpose to be served. Some selfish purpose to be served. But when we come to Krishna consciousness, we realize that the greatest purpose to serve of all is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this means that just as the hand feeds the stomach, or just as one waters the root of a tree, therefore, in that same way, we are meant to satisfy the senses of the Lord. And it is this science that Narada is proposing, to find the super soul within and to serve him. Narada has been enlightened by the sages for understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is for real. Most people nowadays, if they think of God at all, they think maybe there may be a supreme being, there may be some sort of God somewhere, but what the nature of that God is, what the nature of that supreme being is, we can't really tell. But in Krishna consciousness, we can find out with certainty by hearing from the authoritative sources, just as Naraji has heard from the great sages. And Prabhupada explains this consciousness is firmly developed by a devotee who has rendered loving service unto the Lord by carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. So this is the very beginning. I was listening to a lecture. Prabhupada was speaking. Class goes till when? 8:15 or 8:20. Okay. Srila Prabhupada was speaking about the three modes of material nature and why there are different forms of body, why there are 8,400,000 species, because there are three modes, and the three modes interact with the three modes. 3 times 3 is 9. 9 times 9 is 81. So he says, in that way, there are 8,400,000 species, because there everyone is affected some slightly different way, and by the way of nature, we are taking one body after the other. Due to our ignorance, due to our separation from real knowledge of the self, we are willingly pursuing different goals in the material world. In my daily activity, I'm an accountant. I'm a certified public accountant, and my business is to help people become more entangled in material nature. People pay me big money, or some money, not big money. How they can achieve their goals. And it's very interesting to see some people, they are designers of men's clothes. Some people are restaurant owners. Some people engaged in working with disabled people. So I deal with clients, with all sorts of clients. And they have one general thought, how to make profit. Otherwise, if the profit is not there, they generally either cannot or are not willing to continue their activities. But what is the point of their economic activities? Sense gratification, of course. Always sense gratification. Sometimes they give a little something to charity, but usually it's a very insignificant amount of money, and that makes them feel much better because they're giving money to charity. But generally, it's just as the material nature is explained, religion, religiosity, dharma, artha, kam, moksha, that they engage in economic activity. Why? Because they want sense gratification. And if there's a little bit of religiosity there, then they give charitable contributions. But the devotees are not like that, because they understand that this pursuit of material benefit simply means further suffering. So it's very interesting to see how, because I also have some devotee clients, and they're always struggling to think, how can I balance this activity, this business activity, and the Krishna consciousness at the same time? Is this really the same thing as economic development that is so much deprecated in the Shastra? And generally we find no. The motivation for the devotees is that they want to serve Krishna, but circumstantially they're also having to take some honest means of livelihood. And this is explained in the previous chapter, Tasyaiva Heto Prayateta Kovido Nalabhyate Yad Brahmatam Uparyada Talabhyate Dukavat Anyata Sukham Kalena Sarvatra Gabhira Rangasa. That these things are coming. And Krishna explains this in many, many places in Bhagavad Gita also, that the benefit of the activity is coming, not from the activity necessarily directly itself. The devotees don't see like that. Just very interesting, the Sanskrit word for false ego is ahankar. We have any Sanskrit students here? I don't want to say something that everybody already knows, but why not? Everybody already knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we're discussing that. So aham means I, and kara, if you read in Bhagavad Gita, you'll see kara means to do. So ahankara literally means I am the doer. And this is the Sanskrit word for false ego. So a devotee never thinks that actually I am the cause of the results of my own activities. And Krishna advises that also in Bhagavad Gita, that karmanyevadikaraste ma paleshu kadachana ma karma palahetu bhurmate sangha astu akarmani. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activity, and never be attached to not doing your duty. So much in Bhagavad Gita is Krishna urging Arjuna to perform his prescribed duty. And what is that prescribed duty? Well, in Arjuna's case, it was to perform his activities as a kshatriya. So what does Krishna say? Later on, he says, yadrichaya chopapanam swargadwaram aparvitam. Said, happy are the kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought. Even though you're not looking for it, we know that, who was it? The demon that had many arms? Banasura, yeah. He was looking for a fight. And he found a fight. It was a fight he didn't win. But the kshatriyas don't have to go looking for fights. Devotees don't have to go looking for things to do. They come, both internally and externally. That Krishna inspires externally through the spiritual master or internally through the super soul, how actually to be engaged in devotional service. And all of these other things are automatically coming. As Krishna says, just as dukavad anyata sukham. This is Narada speaking. That just as miseries come in the course of time, so also all the benefits come in the course of time. And later on in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yadricha lava santushta dvandvatita vimatsaraha, in the fifth chapter. So this word yadricha, tasyaiva heto, that there's no cause other than time itself and the all-merciful arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada was explaining that the Brahman is not, why is the Brahman not engaged in any kind of economic activity? Artificially, because he knows that everything is going to come in due course of time. Prabhupada gives the example that there are millions of elephants in the African jungle and they're all getting their sufficient supply of foodstuffs. Only in human society are we worried. But that's because the animals, the elephants and the tigers and lions in the jungle, their prescribed duty is enforced upon them. They must live according to those rules, but the human being has choice. And so Narada is here taking this choice very, very seriously in the human form of life. And he's decided, after having heard, that he's going to sit down and find out the supersoul within himself. Because this is his goal of life. And I think on that note, we'll take questions if anybody has any questions or comments. I have to admit I'm not used to giving Bhagavatam classes, so you'll forgive me my lack of words. If you want to talk about accounting, I can... Economic theory, we can discuss. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Krishna's mercy, we're not the doer. I guess it's Krishna. And Prabhupada said, no, that's your stupidity. Something, you know, Prabhupada chastised him. So in other words, it's kind of like, I got the impression from that when if you do something, and the result is good, you give the credit to Krishna. You don't see yourself as, you don't take credit for it. But if you do something and the result is not good, you don't say, well, that's Krishna making the result not good. You take the responsibility for, well, I blew it. I didn't do this right, so that's why the result is no good. Could you give me further insight into that psychological dynamic?
Well, sure. For every action in the material world, there's some result. And based on numerous criteria, that result will be judged to be good or bad, more or less useful, or more or less in line with other things that are being accomplished. There are so many in the history of the Krishna consciousness movement, how many mistakes were made and how many misunderstandings were there that, oh, I thought, you know, that I heard. So our, in technical language, sometimes there are mistakes. The material world is a place where mistakes are made. I mean, that's the very beginning of our philosophy, is that to err is human. And to really mess things up, you use computers. So it's no wonder that a mistake is made, but to make a mistake out of willful ignorance, when one, there is consideration that I should have known better. Or if you don't know how to do it, then you can ask for help, those kinds of things. Krishna's always supplying help to us. So generally, if there's a mistake made or there are so many, for example, I'm not an expert cook, but that was my main service when I was living in the temple. It was cooking. And sometimes I would burn things. I knew how not to burn things, how to burn dal, to burn the rice, or to burn a pot of milk. How difficult is it not to burn a pot of milk? You just have to be patient and stir it. But sometimes I would burn a whole pot of milk, and you think, what a fool. And it's not like you can hide it, because the whole temple is filled with the smell of burning milk. This is... So, Kardama Muni burned the milk again. I shouldn't tell stories on myself, but I think Suvas Prabhu was there, Nikama Prabhu were there when Prabhupada was in Atlanta. And you can hear the tape. There's a long that I was in charge of the kitchen. I was the cook. So Prabhupada was there and in 1975, and at that time the kitchen in the Atlanta temple was just even with the Vyasasan. And you go through a door and the Vyasasan is right there. And so there are so many devotees in there helping cook. And then, of course, when Prabhupada came, everybody vanished. But I had the good sense to realize that this is my duty and I've got to stay here and finish cooking. So Prabhupada was lecturing on Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And at that time, we had these cutting boards, these marble cutting boards. And so I was cutting potatoes, and there was the speaker right there on the wall, so I was listening to Prabhupada speak. And all of a sudden he stopped and said, "What's that noise?" And I was thinking, God, some rascal. So who's making what kind of noise? And then Vaishnavananda Prabhu came flying in the kitchen and said, Prabhupada said to stop making that noise. I was cutting on the cutting board, making a noise. So is this a mistake? This is a stupid mistake? Well, yeah, but sometimes you make a mistake and you don't realize it. And the spiritual master goes, stop. This is a mistake. And so this is, then we become rectified. And then there are other mistakes. I mean, there are mistakes, and then there are mistakes. To do something when I know better. I've been instructed. Because why is the instruction there? There are practical things, and then there are personal things. In Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada, in the introduction, Prabhupada said, these instructions are meant to bring one to the point of the mode of goodness. After obtaining which, everything further how to advance in spiritual life will be automatically revealed. So, having read that, what is my reluctance to scrupulously? I mean, perfectly, there's no perfectly following. But in another place, Prabhupada said that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends more or less on the attitude of the follower. So therefore, Krishna says, abhichet sudaracharo. Yes, these things can be forgiven. Some things can be forgiven. But there's so many considerations. There's so many practical considerations. Ordinary trust. Prabhupada gave over ordinary, just plain ordinary trust to devotees. That yet we're working together cooperatively to get this accomplished. Just like this the new pujari room, I understand, is a big project. And there's so many projects in the temple that require practical cooperation. And if I don't show up for my service, or if I leave something out to be lost, then is that a mistake? I know better. I should know better. So there on the spiritual platform, there are so many. One philosopher referred to the spiritual act of will. And Prabhupada said in one lecture that all that is required for you to be Krishna conscious is to agree. Well, I just agree. But it means I have to do it. It doesn't mean that I just agree and say, okay, and go do whatever I want. But agreement is not a cheap thing, to agree to be Krishna conscious. It means always to be considering and reforming. That's understood. Therefore, we recite the 10 offenses against the holy name so we can be on guard. It's like my friend wanted to disparage all philosophy and all theology. But these things are important because this is the order. Nature has a specific order, and spiritual life also, there's an order to spiritual life. It's not that, I mean, you read the pastimes of Krishna, it's not a hodgepodge. There's definitely something going on there. It's going on the basis of love. Mother Yashoda is feeding Krishna so he won't die. Yes, there are stupid mistakes. But a devotee, in another place, Prabhupada said in one lecture, discrepancies there may be, you should never try to go away. So sometimes devotees become discouraged by their stupid mistakes or even willful mistakes. Who can say that I have not willfully done something? There are some, I would be willing to believe there are some who have never committed any willful error. I'm sure that's not, don't think I can make that claim. But still, the advice is there from Prabhupada, never try to go away. No matter how great the mistake, there's always recovery and reformation. So, does that get to the point?
Thank you.
Oh, okay. It's okay. So today is the appearance of Sri Purushottama Thakur. And we'll read a little something. few paragraphs. So it's like, the 23rd and 24th prominent devotees of Nityananda Prabhu were Sadashiva Kaviraj and his son Purushottama Das, who was the 10th Gopal. Since birth, Purushottam Das was merged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and he was always engaged in childish play with Lord Krishna. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Sadashiva Kaviraj was extremely fortunate. His son's name was Sri Purushottama Das. He was never externally conscious of his material body. Nityananda Chandra enacted many pastimes from within his heart. Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sri Purushottam Das Thakur had three main disciples, Sri Madhavacharya, Sri Yadavacharya, and Devaki Nandan Das, who were born in Kulina Brahmin families. Madhavacharya married Nityananda Prabhu's daughter, Ganga Devi. Devaki Nandan was the author of the book Vaishnava Vandane. Purushottama Thakur's Sripat was previously at Sukhasagar. Now his deities are at Chandriagram. All glories to Sri Purushottam Thakur. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish.
Thank you.